This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1.
All right, we made it to Friday, and if we can just get through today, it looks like we got some warmer weather on the way. That is really good news, especially for the homeless people sleeping downtown. We're going to talk to Elliot Davis, formerly of Fox 2, but still very active in reporting stories there on social media for sure. He's agreed to join us here in the next segment. He's been on the mayor and the administration to do more for people who have found themselves outside in these frigid temperatures. I drove into work this morning, found a couple more. Fact, in the same spot where the lady was found dead 2 days ago on a sewer grate across from the old St. Louis Police Department down here where the medical examiner's office still is, right across the street. They found a woman frozen, well, I appear frozen to death. They have not determined officially her cause of death yet. But we're going to talk to Elliot Davis about that coming up here at about 22 after the hour. Be sure and stay tuned for that. My friend Nick Schroer, there is a bit of a dispute down in Jeff City over a bill that is pending right now, and it's got a lot to do with foreign ownership and Bayer and some other issues. I'm going to let Nick explain all that to you because they're wanting immunity for some of their products. And that passed in the House, apparently, and now it's going to go into the Senate. And we're going to talk to Nick Schroer about that and also about state control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, which the House passed yesterday. Question is now what happens when it goes over to the Senate. So we'll get to all that for you coming up here before long. Glad you're with us. Remember, you can always download the podcast at 971talk.com. You can go to the Odyssey app and get it there. Wherever you download your podcast, you can go back and listen to our great interview last hour with Congressman Mike Bost talking about DOGE and Ukraine and spending cuts in Congress, because, of course, they're up there battling right now over that reconciliation bill. That happened at about 7:30. You can pick that up on the podcast as well. We try to make that as easy as we can for you. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Is it safe to fly?
So the simple answer is yes, it's safe to fly, of course. Actually, I'm going to fly later today. I've been flying for the last week.
Yeah, that's Sean Duffy answering the question there from CBS. Why is this an issue? If you look at the statistics, there have been fewer incidents in the first month of Donald Trump's presidency than there was at any time during Joe Biden's presidency in terms of airline incidents, and yet all of the people in the media are now freaking out.
We cannot rebuild the United States of America or Europe by letting millions and millions of unvetted illegal migrants come into our country. It has to stop.
Yeah, J.D. Vance at CPAC yesterday talking about the fixes already to immigration. I mean, the numbers are down from 4,000 a year ago to fewer than 300 or 400 a day now, and that is a huge improvement on the southern border.
And Elon Musk has done an amazing job. I have to tell you, him and his super geniuses, you know, these are seriously high IQ people.
President Trump there talking to the GOP, the Republican Governors Association, and he had a lot to say about Musk and what they're trying to do to reduce spending in the federal government.
Remember me, Cori Bush? As a member of Congress, I fought for the people, but baby, I'm still here, and I'm not alone.
Sorry, Kim. I couldn't help myself. Kim says earlier, thanks for ruining our morning. Just when we thought Cori Bush was gone, she's announcing that she's back.
Carl, I feel like you're normally really, really, really on top of things, especially when it comes to music, but mm-hmm. there was a missed opportunity there.
Uh-oh.
What?
You should have played the song from The Wizard of Oz, like...
Yes, no kidding. Yeah, so Cori Bush has announced a brand new, I guess it's a video podcast, for lack of a better term. They're calling it Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush is going to be called Bowman and Bush.
Very original.
Very original.
I mean, really, they couldn't come up with a better name than that?
I watched the entire trailer. It's a minute 50 seconds, almost 2 minutes, too long to play here. But basically, she just points out that those evil Israeli people tried to silence her. I'd say they did a pretty good job, Cori, because they got you out of office. But she's hating on some AIPAC. Carl, go ahead and play that soundbite for us, please. 14.
Remember me, Cori Bush? As a member of Congress, I fought for the people. I stood on the side of justice at home and abroad.
Congresswoman Cori Bush slept on the steps of the Capitol, pushing Congress and the president to help keep millions of Americans from facing eviction.
Cori Bush called for a ceasefire very early on.
AIPAC have spent over $8 million in an effort to defeat Bush.
Outside groups, including AIPAC, spent millions and millions of dollars to unseat me, to try to silence me. But baby, I'm still here, and I'm not alone.
Remember me? I'm Jamal Bowman.
I've been out practicing for a couple months since I lost my job in Congress on how to more effectively pull fire alarms without getting caught.
Maybe he's perfected that since he's lost out on his reelection bid to Congress.
It's funny that she's still tied up on the amount of money spent by AIPAC. I mean, there were lots of liberal causes that were in here spending money supporting her. But she's angry that somebody spent a lot of money toward her defeat. And, you know, I'm not convinced. I mean, Wesley Bell will be a less visible congressperson in terms of stealing headlines, I think. He'll be more effective than her because he'll actually support some things that might have a shot at getting passed at some point, even though Democrats are in a minority now in the House. Remember, though, how angry Cori was after her defeat. Because she promised then that she was going after AIPAC, and she hated them for what they did to her. Here we go. Is this it, Carl? Oops, sorry. Hang on.
Here. AIPAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
Once again, we have challenges with mic audio there. But other than that, I don't know if a microphone could contain that, Carl. Do you think it's possible? Could you could you control a microphone enough other than turning it off?
Unholy.
Don't they realize you should, if you're going to scream that loud, that you should move away a little bit from the microphone so that our ears aren't bleeding?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, that'll be probably available on YouTube at some point. Now, bear in mind, they'll let her go on there and rant and rave about with her anti-Semitism on Israel, but they banned this show from YouTube for mentioning ivermectin. Just so you know, that's the game they play at the big tech companies these days.
We should take a bet real quickly. Do we think we'll get better sound bites from The View or from their little video podcast?
Yeah, that's probably true. I might have to go on there and follow it just for the humor, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Elliot Davis, formerly of Fox 2 News, still pretty active in covering stories on his social media for sure. One he did a couple days ago on asking for a warming bus for some of the homeless downtown in these single-degree temperatures. I drove by this morning. There's still three more people sleeping on grates across from the medical examiner's office. We're going to get to Elliot's thoughts on that coming up. Stay tuned.
FM Talk Podcast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
4 degrees when I got in my car this morning, about 7 or 8 when I got downtown, according to my dashboard. I drive by the medical examiner's office and laying there on the, I believe, same grate where the lady died, the 34-year-old died the other day. There were two more homeless people. All I could see were the bottoms of their shoes sleeping out in this weather this morning. And I noticed our friend Elliot Davis had pointed out this problem several days ago, and I asked him to join us this morning. Elliot, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. You know, obviously, you'd think that there might be an extra Metro bus available somewhere they could bring downtown. What was the reaction when you brought this up to City Hall?
Well, first of all, it's just tragic. The death of Jennifer Pendleton, who's in her 30s. Her body was found Tuesday out there by that grate. And as you said, the homeless are still out there, still sleeping by that heating vent. And we had been bringing this issue to the city for a while in terms of the need to have a bus out there, to have someplace they can go, someplace they can know, someplace they can feel comfortable about. I've been calling for like a couple of months for Mayor Tashara Jones and her administration to have the bus. They have refused to do so, saying, as a matter of fact, on Valentine's Day, there was a protest by the homeless. I was at that protest covering it, and the chief of staff came out, basically, and when I asked him the question about the homeless bus, he said, well, it's just a Band-Aid. It is a symbol. And obviously, a lot of people in the homeless community took offense to that, and I grilled them on that. I said, well, look, I was here in 2017 under Mayor Lida Cruson when she first put the bus out there. It's not new. It's been done before, and certainly it's more than a Band-Aid. Well, I think they got a big blowback from the public about that comment, calling it a Band-Aid, because Monday the bus was there. But one of the problems is that the bus is only being used from 5 to 7 in the evening, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. When you have days where it's 9 degrees outside, 5 degrees outside, the bus needs to be there early in the afternoon on through the evening, and that the administration hasn't done. So I just don't think they've done enough to convince the homeless of the availability of all these assets for them to go. I just think they have not been diligent enough. One, putting out the words, making things like that bus available where the homeless can say, well, maybe I don't know where the shelter is, which many of them don't, even though the administration says we have a lot of shelter beds. Well, guess what? A lot of the homeless don't know where the shelter beds are. Many of them can't get there. Some of them walk to a location only to get there and find out that maybe the shelter is full and there's no room at the end. And so that's why these warm-up buses are so essential, but the administration has refused to do it. And I just think that it would make a huge difference for Mayor Tashara Jones and her administration to do more. They have not done it. In my opinion, they've done less than Mayor Cruson, who started these buses. All they have to do is just use Mayor Crucem for a blueprint.
You kind of touched on what I was wondering, Elliot, which was, and this might sound heartless, but is it an issue of these people refuse to go to the shelter when there is space, or is it there's simply a lack of beds, or they're turning them down because they're saying you're on drugs, or whatever the case may be? Because I do believe as a Christian I'm called to help the needy, but I also want somebody, if there is an open bed and they're offered an opportunity to stay there and they have a way to get there, I want them to take the shelter up on that.
I think there's a total lack of communication between this administration and the homeless. I don't know if the homeless really believe this administration really wants to help them. And I just think that just not enough has been done to communicate. When I went to the protest, I talked to a homeless woman who had slept on that very same vent where Jennifer Pendleton, the homeless woman who died, was found. And we had a conversation. So why are you sleeping on this vent? And she said, well, it's a place to get warm. I don't know where else to go. So people might assume that you and I might say, okay, we've got this long list, or I've got this in my phone where the shelters are located, and I can just instantly call and figure out if they're full or not. But many times the homeless are on the phone, don't have communications, don't know how to reach the places. But there needs to be more of an outreach by the city, one, to let the homeless know, hey, it's okay to come to these shelters. There are, if you don't feel like going to a shelter, for example, this woman told me that she went into the library to get warm, but when she closed her eyes and fell asleep, they kicked her out of the library.
Okay.
And so many times they're running into just situations that we can't even imagine. And so what do? Well, next time you won't go to the library. You might go to the vent.
Well, it's a good point. We're talking to Elliot Davis, and he kind of drew this to my attention the other day with one of his posts on Facebook, and I decided just to circle City Hall this morning as I drove downtown. Sure enough, there's people back out there, and it's a small enough number, Elliot, that it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a problem for the city to do more about it. I mean, I agree with Kim. Some of these people have mental health problems. Some won't seek help themselves, but we can extend a little bit of warmth to a human being on a 5-degree morning.
What I tell people is this: anybody could become homeless at any time, especially if you don't have a safety net. A lot of the women, for example, were in abusive situations. Like, people will often try to criticize them and say, but they're out there, they're all on drugs. That's not true. I talked to a number of women, many of them out there, because they were in abusive situations, getting beaten half to death by some guy, and had them and their children in the house family. They'd had enough, and they got out on the streets. They became homeless. They say, look, it's either getting out on the street and deal with homelessness, or stand here and wait for somebody to kill me because I'm being battered and abused. That is what many women actually face. That's how a lot of them ended up being homeless.
Yeah.
Once you get out on the street, just imagine the issues that you're going to run into fighting for your. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's
talk true. To many women who are fearful.
Someone's at the door.
You're going to wake up the next morning.
Elliot, we're going to let you get the door. I got to go anyway, my friend. I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Elliot Davis there, formerly of Fox 2 News. And, you know, he's still out there drawing attention to these things. Sure seems like more could be done, for sure. Coming up, we'll talk to State Senator Nick Schroer about the police being taken over by the state. All right, welcome back. We've been talking all morning about the Kim's headlines about the fact that the House in Missouri has voted to take over the St. Louis Police Department, and now that is going to have to head over to the Senate. And it just so happens that we've got Missouri Senator Nick Schroer on the phone this morning. Nick, how are you, my friend?
I am good, but I am cold, Mark. How are you guys?
Are you outside?
I'm waiting to go into work right now. I mean, a lot of people forget that outside of being a senator, I'm an attorney as well. But, yeah, just keep me on as long as you can so I can stay warm.
No problem, my friend. Hey, listen, what does this look like? Is it a slam dunk now that the Senate passes a state takeover of the Missouri, the St. Louis police?
Well, I liken it to when St. Louis had a football team. You know, remember Jerome Bettis, the bus?
I do.
It took a while, and, you know, you finally got to the goal line, and it wasn't a guarantee, but they put the bus in there, and more times than not, he was going to drive it straight through. And it looked nasty, and it might have to get nasty because the House has done their work. The Senate, we have come together, myself, Senator Fitzwater. We've had many leaderships of Tony Lukemire, Cindy O'Loughlin, all of the different factions of police, community leaders. Everybody is wanting this thing done. Even the FOP, they sent out a poll to all of the police officers in the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. 98% of them, that is a huge mandate, 98% of them said, we need this citizen board control. We need this bill passed. And there's one senator standing in the way, and it is Senator Carl LeMay, who represents the city of St. Louis, who said live on the Senate floor that St. Charles County has more murders than St. Louis. So I don't know where she's getting her statistics, but we had 7 murders last year. They had, on paper, 150. There's a lot of issues behind that, but it's looking a heck of a lot better than it has in the past years because we have a leader in Governor Kehoe saying we're going to get this done come hell or high water.
So we know about filibusters. We know that you can easily end one of those with a PQ. Sometimes that pisses off the minority enough that they then block every other bill from now on. I don't know. That seems to always be the issue. Is that what the answer is here? I mean, is to get around Senator May, will they have to take an action like that?
Well, I'm not sure. And I even sat down with Senator May on yesterday. It was yesterday, Thursday, asking her if there's anything. The past 2 years I've asked her, is there anything we can do to negotiate, to figure a way around this thing? Because we're not only losing businesses, we're not only losing population. People are being murdered. People are being ran over in the city of St. Louis. And the police department is one Mike Brown instance away from blowing up and being unrecoverable. So I hope that's not the issue, but I think with the lack of negotiating and good faith, a lot of these members that in previous years have said, well, it's not really my issue. They're seeing the impact that it is having on the general revenue, on the economic development in our area, and the population growth. So who knows? We'll see what happens the closer we get to spring break and the closer we get to end of session.
Mayor Tashara Jones has been passionately against state control of this. And what's interesting to me is, let's just say this passes, you know, what they're doing is creating this, you know, board of commissioners, basically. She would be on that board, or whoever, I guess, is elected mayor right here in the city of St. Louis. And then obviously the governor would choose 4 others. So essentially, I guess that's what she's griping about, is that she would lose some control because she'd have 4 others who'd be able to make decisions with her.
Yeah, and I wish she was, you know, this passionate about cleaning up the roads when it snows, or the trash, or helping out the homeless that are dying on the streets. Mark, I know you said you saw a couple people. I saw it on your Facebook page.
Yes.
Out in, you know, sub temperatures today. So, no, this would be something where, as written currently, the governor would get a pick. And these are people from the city of St. Louis. It's not like he's picking his cronies in Columbia or Jeff City. Mm-hmm. These are citizens from the St. Louis that he would pick. And then there would be a pool. Aside from that pick and the mayor, there would be a pool that all of the police unions on the ground and the mayor would pick designees to go into this pool that the governor would then choose from. These are all community leaders, law enforcement leaders that are prioritizing making St. Louis safe again rather than pandering to the leftist wackos that the mayor has done time and time again.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, well, off that issue for a minute, I saw you put on Facebook that you're going to have a major announcement. Somebody is sending out flyers with your face on them. What is that all about, Nick?
Well, you know, the government in the state of Missouri for the past several years has been under attack. It's something that we rarely talk about. But over the past couple of years, we've had a ton of foreign influence happening. And thanks to working with Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, we've zeroed in on some of this stuff. The 1630 Fund has spent millions upon millions of dollars coming from a Swiss billionaire to influence things like Amendment 3, minimum wage hikes. Well, here recently, in 9 different Senate districts, there's this mailer going around putting our face on the same exact body with Chinese flags alleging that we're standing in the way of the MAGA movement. Well, who's behind it? It is Bayer and these pesticide companies that are producing glyphosate. That's where all this money is coming from, because there are 2 bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. The House just passed it, House Bill 544 and Senate Bill 14. Essentially what it would do, it gives up authority to the EPA. It gives our state authority to the EPA, unelected bureaucrats, to basically govern all of the labeling requirements for pesticides. And if these glyphosate companies are able to adhere to what the EPA wants, then they get blanket immunity for any claims that even right now Trump and RFK Jr. have said glyphosate. We're going to investigate it, and if we need to, we're coming after you. So they're accusing us of going against the MAGA and MAHA movement, and we're exactly standing for it. We've got several bills dealing with labeling requirements for food that these lobbyists are standing against, and we also have the only bills that will ban these Chinese-made pesticides in the state of Missouri, ban the use of them. So we've got MAGA, the MAGA 9, we're calling ourselves. We've got me, Rick Bratton, Adam Schnelting, Brad Hudson, David Gregory, Jill Carter, Ben Brown, Joe Nicola, and Mike Moon. We're going to have a big announcement next week, a big press conference on Tuesday, highlighting what we're doing to stop these Chinese pesticides, similar to the fentanyl movement that Donald Trump is doing on the national stage. We're going to stop these Chinese poisons from coming in to our state.
Good. I love that. I know something else you've been working on, and you just brought it up, was Amendment 3, and obviously that allowed unrestricted abortion here in Missouri. Planned Parenthood has, I believe, just this week or late last week resumed abortions in the state, which is so sad. I mean, where does that go from here? And then the other thing, and I'm kind of throwing this on you, but I saw that one of the representatives, he, I believe it was Phil Amato, I think I'm saying his name correctly, he has basically proposed this bill that would create a registry of expecting mothers who he says would be at risk of an abortion. And there, it would also list people who are trying to adopt. Are you familiar with that bill at all?
No, my wife actually asked me last night. She's a health practitioner, and I said, look, I haven't heard about it, but in the Capitol there are a lot of rumblings on this, and for the conservative movement, for the Freedom Caucus, if we're dealing with registries of people, we're going to be against that all day long.
Yes.
I haven't read the bill, but just fundamentally, we are against that.
Good.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah, but then, I appreciate that. Yeah.
On the other side, yes, we are fighting. Adam Schnelting and I were roommates. We're right next door to each other, Senate District 2, Senate District 23. Good friend of mine. We are spearheading this just like we did in 2019 for the heartbeat bill and the defunding Planned Parenthood bill. We're going to be standing to put something back on the ballot for Missourians to actually know what's in our laws, not like all the lies that I just said were funded by out-of-state millionaires, foreign investments. So what, we're going to put something back on the ballot, but we're also going to define some of these insane broad terms like reproductive health care that are not defined anywhere in law, but they've been injected in our Constitution now.
It's people's eyes gloss over when I mention it, but I got to mention it. Isn't the easy answer to a lot of this IP reform, is that even being talked about this year in the legislature?
Yeah, there's several bills that have not moved. And, you know, there is a debate. And I've talked to House members and Senate members. They want to play by the same rules that all of these out-of-state billionaires have played by. And they believe, and I could go either way depending upon the bill, and I'm going to be filing one come Monday that is going to be very similar to where we left off at the end of last year before a senator threw a motion in the trash and killed the bill. So essentially, we are struggling with do we do this now and put this on the ballot with Amendment 3 fixes, or do we put these fixes on there and then try to fix it later? I say, look, let's just push the effective date of this IP reform and keep fighting, keep standing for the people and get these foreign lunatics out of our Constitution.
Yeah, we got to do it. Nick, we'll let you get inside since you're freezing out there, buddy. Thank you.
Man, I mean, you can keep me on for the next hour.
Love having you back, though. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
God bless you all.
All right, we'll see you, buddy. Thank you. Nick Schroer, state senator there, talking a lot of common sense. It's true. The best way to stop the influence of George Soros and Planned Parenthood and other out-of-state influencers who are pouring money into the state of Missouri to change the Constitution is to raise the bar. It's the IP reform is the simple solution to this. And I thought they had a perfectly reasonable approach to just require a majority vote in five or six of the eight congressional districts. That shouldn't be too high of a bar to reach, just to make sure that you have support statewide and not just in St. Louis City and Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable.
I think that's a key first step, and I think that will prevent a lot of this dark money from having as big of an influence as it clearly has had in our state. But isn't there some other way we can prevent this outside money? Isn't there some sort of, like a filtering system is the only word that comes to mind, where we can prevent some of that?
I don't know. I don't know legally what the ramifications are, but I've often argued that we should pass something in the state of Missouri, maybe it has to go to a vote, that says if there are statewide ballot issues, no money can be contributed from outside the state of Missouri. Now,
right.
Can they get around that by forming some sort of a PAC inside the state of Missouri, and then they just use that money instead? I don't know, but I think it would have the, like, I looked at the contributions to this pro-Amendment 3 bill, mm-hmm. and a bunch of them were from the outskirts of Washington, D.C., California, crazy. Like all over the place. These liberal groups were dumping money into the state of Missouri to try to buy these deceiving ads that ran on the TV.
Well, I'm sure that's what would happen, is you'd have a lot of these outside entities that would pour money into, say, Planned Parenthood. Then you'd have the local Planned Parenthood chapter making this massive donation. And they'd say, well, it's the local one that made the donation. Well, no, it's millions of dollars from other people that live outside Missouri.
There may be an answer there. I don't know that I have it figured out completely, but I'd love to see something like that. All right, quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You walk around in Washington. What does Chuck Schumer say when he walks past you? What do all these Democrats say when you guys are walking around? I know you lock eyes.
You know, I think that the word I would use is demoralized. Jesse, they don't know what to do. I mean, here they're out here defending USAID. They're defending billions of dollars spent on transgender operas in Peru. I mean, make my day. Go ahead. You can defend that all day long. We'd love to talk about that. You want to run the next election on that? Go right ahead. The problem is they're the party of the corruption in government. They're the party of pardons for Hunter Biden and all of his cronies, and pardons for criminals and rapists, which is how Joe Biden left office. They're the party of entrenched power. And as Trump exposes the corruption, he's exposing their agenda and the rot in their agenda. They don't have anywhere to go. And I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Josh Hawley, obviously, last night on the Jesse Waters program. He's right. They're demoralized. They're rudderless. And quite frankly, they're having a hard time keeping up, I think. I think that's part of the problem. They get mad about one thing. Now they were protesting yesterday outside of the FBI building because Kash Patel is going to go in there and wreak havoc, mm-hmm. right? And I think people are, you know, I jokingly said this to my friend yesterday, that I got to speak to a bunch of my police officer friends at the FBI National Academy. These are all local officers who've been selected by their chief to go to D.C. and go through about 6 or 8 weeks of training at the FBI Academy, where they take courses on management and, you know, law enforcement and that sort of thing. It's pretty cool. It's quite a feather in your cap if you're in law enforcement to get to do that. Lots of great people. They were like, I don't know how many people were there yesterday, 70 or 80. We had a pretty good size room. And, you know, they understand this at a deep level, how important administration support is, I believe. At least the officers do. I didn't get into it a lot with the people that were there from the FBI. There was a vote going on at that time for their new chief. It just hadn't happened yet. And I joked with them about that. I'm like, maybe there's going to be an ICE National Academy after this. Right? Maybe we take you, all you officers, and we send somebody off to ICE and you learn what they do. Right? Because that's important. Because local police are increasingly probably being asked to get involved in this, mm-hmm. and if it comes to a gang in your community, why wouldn't you, right?
Well, maybe that would be effective. It's like not quite the same, but Undercover Boss, where you don't really fully understand it until you go and shadow someone for a day or actually do that type of work.
True. There's one bite I haven't had a chance to get to yet. Stephen Miller went in the White House press briefing room and read the media, the Riot Act yesterday, for them continuing to question Elon Musk and claiming that he's a co-president. Listen to this.
So I'm glad for the opportunity for a brief civics lesson. A president is elected by the whole American people. He's the only official in the entire government that is elected by the entire nation, right? Judges are appointed, members of Congress are elected at the district or state level, which is one man. And the Constitution, Article 2, has a clause known as the vesting clause, and it says the executive power shall be vested in a president, singular. The whole will of democracy is imbued into the elected president. That president then appoints staff to then impose that democratic will onto the government. The threat to democracy, indeed the existential threat to democracy, is the unelected bureaucracy of lifetime tenured civil servants who believe they answer to no one, who believe they can do whatever they want without consequence, who believe they can set their own agenda no matter what Americans vote for. So Americans vote for radical FBI reform, an FBI agent say they don't want to change, or Americans vote for radical reform on our energy policies, but EPA bureaucrats say they don't want to change, or Americans vote to end DEI, racist DEI policies, and lawyers of the Department of Justice say they don't want to change.
Yep, I thought Stephen Miller did a great job of explaining that to the media yesterday. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. Looking forward to the warm-up. And, of course, Kilmeade will be up here in a few minutes for you. Annie Fry, Mark Reardon this afternoon. And we'll be back Monday morning at 5 a.m. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.